Hi, podcast listeners. You may know that we originally intended for this episode to be all about Rogue One, but in the light of Carrie Fisher's death on December 27th and that of her mother Debbie Reynolds on December 28th, we didn't have the heart to do anything with this episode but remember the two of them, both forces of nature in their own right. What follows here is a discussion between MC, Lepicus, and April, remembering these two amazing women and talking about what they meant to us. I was traveling at the time and I couldn't join in, sadly. Carrie meant so much to all of us, we can't do full justice to her here. She was our princess, our general, and the queen to all of us who are just a little bit different, a little bit off-center. She was, in many ways, hope for those of us who also struggle with mental illness and with body issues. Her honesty and strength have influenced generations of women who have now taken up the mantra of do it for Carrie. Our tribute to Carrie isn't just something for a single episode. At the end of this episode, we've included our usual contact information with a request. Send us your thoughts and your memories of Carrie, and we'll read as many as we can in February's episode. We miss you, Carrie.
Hi, and welcome to the Trash Compactor podcast. We had been hoping to record our Rogue One episode. Unfortunately, real-life events have come up that meant we had to record this one first. We really didn't want to have to do this episode, but 2016 has decided to continue being a fucker of a year. It is with great sadness we report that Carrie Frances Fisher, writer, author, comedian, and our beloved princess-slash-general Leia Organa, died on Tuesday, December 28th, at the age of 60. She drowned in moonlight, strangled by her own bra. We wanted to take some time to reflect on the life and legacy left by Carrie. I'm MC, and I'm here with...
April.
And Lepicus.
Okay, so, this really sucks, and is... I don't think there's anybody who's not surprised by this. This just kind of came out of nowhere.
I was surprised that she had the heart attack. Well, I was kind of surprised that she had the heart attack when she did, and it was when it was. They said how serious it was. Women having heart attacks, they tend to die pretty soon afterwards.
Yeah.
So I was not surprised when she passed away.
I was.
But yeah.
I was more.
She was way too young.
Yeah, I was more hopeful when she survived the first 24 hours because I know that's super important. But I was since the way the news was being sort of handled that she was stable, but there was no other indication of improvement. I was sort of waiting for it, but still just very hopeful that she would be the one person who would say, bitch, you thought, when it comes to dying in 2016.
Yeah, which would be a totally Carrie thing
to
do.
So, yeah, the heart attack thing, it was like, okay. You know, and I think it's one of those things, too, like, as somebody who suffers from panic disorder and anxiety, it's honestly one of those things where it's like, I just speculated, I wondered if she thought she was having a panic attack at first and other people didn't, which is very common for, you know, when women having heart attacks it mimics a panic attack, which, you know, makes panic attacks even more scary. You know.
Well, I've heard that apparently what happened was that she stopped breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was a question of people thinking she was being overdramatic. Yeah.
But it depends on, like, the whole time scale. I would personally rather not speculate on exactly what happened with
I mean, I'm coming from more of a woman's health perspective on that. Just sort of,
fair enough.
Like, not any sort of morbid curiosity. Just sort of, you know, again, is this one of those examples of, you know, we're just not educated on the way women's symptoms present.
Actually, in the show notes, we will include, there's a wonderful post going around on Tumblr about the signs of a heart attack for a woman, because they are different than for a man. So we will locate that. But yeah, like, with me, like, I heard about the heart attack, and I was really just, you know, fingers crossed, and then I went to go see Rogue One, because I, you know, needed to see it again for the podcast. And as soon as I came out and turned my phone on, I'd gotten a text from Rob, and he's like, Carrie Fisher has died. And I had to drive for an hour, and it felt like I had been punched in the gut. Like, I actually did not feel good about driving, because I was in a state of shock, because I'm not trying to be overdramatic, the last time I felt that, like, just in shock was when my mother went into the hospital for brain surgery. Carrie meant so much to me. And, like, the second I walked through the door and could actually let myself go, I burst into tears.
It was one of the first things that I, that morning that I heard, like, I turned my, I got my phone out and there was that email from Erin, and, like, she didn't say the name in it, but I just knew, you know, that that's who it was. Cause I'd been checking, like, I'd been checking the news every once in a while, you know, just for updates. And, you know, so it's probably something I would have that morning pretty soon anyway. But, yeah, and I, like, I honestly, I did, I laid in bed for a very long time, and I cried a lot. It was very similar to, honestly, how I, how it was election morning, like, the morning after the election. Like, honestly, in this sort of just feeling of hopelessness, really. And I know that's, like, stupid, but not really. I don't, you know.
It is totally not stupid. Carrie Fisher, really, she was not only an icon for a generation, but as Princess Leia, but she was wonderful. But for me, it was about Carrie. I admired Carrie so much as a person, as a mental health advocate. I was diagnosed as bipolar when I was 14, and this was deep in my initial Star Wars obsession. And when I had that feeling of absolute hopelessness that things were not going to get better, suddenly I read somewhere that, oh, Carrie Fisher is also bipolar, and she's gone through all of this other crap, and she has pulled herself out of it. And not only is she a successful actress, but at that time she was doing a lot of script doctoring. She was, like, the top script doctor in Hollywood and had worked on, like, a billion different movies. Yeah. And she had done all of these different novels and screenplays. And now, just in the last few years, she's done all of these memoirs, and she was really willing to take her own experiences and her own pain and turn it into comedy. And she had a quote that was in Wishful Drinking that I've mentioned before, and it's, if my life weren't funny, it would just be true, and that's unacceptable, which is a saying that I've kind of taken as a personal motto of my own.
I think the first thing of hers I ever read, one of my friends in, like, I think the eighth grade, I still have the copy of this book, gave me a copy of Surrender the Pink. And I was just like, oh, you know, because I really was just sort of only peripherally aware then of kind of the other stuff she'd been doing. Because, I mean, of course, I'd seen When Harry Met Sally and some of her other movies. But, you know, that's the first, my first introduction to her as a writer. But, yeah, I, you know, my struggles with mental health have been just really related to depression and anxiety since I was a younger teenager. And, you know, it's a very similar story of knowing that she was just, I think that she was unashamed of that, completely unashamed of it, and unashamed of her, of addiction, was just amazing and refreshing and just such an inspiration. And then with the, you mentioned the script doctoring thing, I read, I think it was on Lainey Gossip, she was talking about how the reason Carrie got out of it was because the way people were paid changed, where that you would have to submit your full notes before you actually got the job, and then of course they could just use your work and not hire you, and she basically said no. And, you know, Lainey talked about in her thing that, you know, she admired that, that she was willing as a woman to say no when it's sometimes so hard for us to do that. She stepped back, and, you know, she did have the luxury of stepping back in many ways because, you know, she's wealthy, but still, you know, that was work that she stepped away from that was probably very fulfilling for her. But, she, you know, she was just not willing to do that work for free. And, you know, that's something we should all remember, you know, to value our work.
Now, I have a quote here that I think is very appropriate, and I will also include a link to this article. It's from the Toronto Star of Carrie Fisher quotes. But it's, I do believe you're only as sick as your secrets. If that's true, I'm just really healthy.
That's awesome.
Sounds about right.
I also read that she, her teen idol, she called it, was Dorothy Parker. And that puts so much stuff into perspective for me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because honestly, when I think of Carrie Fisher and I think of her wit, I do think she is kind of a modern-day Dorothy Parker, and I'm sure she'd be very happy to hear that.
Yeah, if you think about the thing, like if Dorothy Parker were on Twitter, she'd be saying very similar things to what Carrie did, I think.
And there's been such a wonderful outpouring from diehard fans of Star Wars and from people who only like Star Wars casually and mental health advocates about, you know, the impact Carrie Fisher has had on them and all of the wonderful things that Carrie has done, fan interactions. It's really, there's almost too much to talk about in terms of all of the great stuff that I've seen. I will try to find, as you know, some of the highlights of a lot of the things that have been going around online. But
yeah, if you can find one of them, there was her former assistant wrote some really beautiful.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know if I ever
bought it
or not. So we'll have to find it and see if we can put it in the show notes. But he just basically talked about how amazing it was working with her, how she was the same person in, you know, private as she was in public, you know, just generous and funny and warm and, you know, just talked about all the traveling they did and just how great she was. And I think, God, I forgot what one of her nicknames for him was, Cockering. So we should find that definitely and put it in the show notes because it was just a really gorgeous tribute.
I actually have a list of, you know how people have lists of celebrities that they want to have sex with? I have a list of celebrities that I want to have dinner with and just, you know, shoot the shit with. Carrie was number one on that list. I think she would have been just so cool. Like, just never even talking about Star Wars, like, at all. It's like, I just want to, like, be in your presence and wit and just experience you. And, you know, not that I think that I'd ever have that opportunity, but it really does hurt that that opportunity is gone for good now. I got my GED this summer, and I had to write an essay for the English portion of it. And the topic I had been given was, what celebrity do you most identify with? And I wrote about Carrie, and I meant to tweet her about it, but I never got around to it.
Yeah, that's like, I meant to tweet her and ask her how much she got paid for them to put her face on somebody else in Rogue One.
By the way, I mean, this is a terrible thing to bring up, but it is important. Carrie had finished doing all of her filming for Episode 8 before her death. And they have not said anything about what's going to happen with Episode 9. There have been a lot of, there's been a lot of commentary about whether or not they should recast or they should do CGI like they did with Tarkin.
I can't imagine they will.
I can't either. And,
yeah.
I mean. They might just kill her off. And I mean, not to be bloodless about it, but.
Doing that in 8 would be better than killing her off between, I think, or trying to like the CGI, it just doesn't, I don't know. And it's not even a too soon thing, it's just a no.
Unfortunately, it's like a reality that this is something they're gonna have to deal with. And I mean, while, you know, we do want to, you know, mostly this episode is about, you know, our, you know, our feelings for Carrie, you know, this is a legacy that she is leaving. This is going to be her last movie, so it is important to speculate on, you know, what might happen for that. And of course, this has nothing to do with Star Wars, but I think it's also important that we note that actually Debbie Reynolds, Carrie's mother, died the day after Carrie. And for those of you who don't know, Debbie Reynolds was a one of the last of, like, the old Hollywood actresses. I mean, she came in very late in old Hollywood, but she was still around at the time of the studio system. She was in Singing in the Rain. And
age 19.
She was 19, the same age as Carrie in the original Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And she was just a fixture in Hollywood for, like, 7 decades. Yeah. She was, as she got older, she was a very cool broad and was very happy in her Vegas act to introduce herself as Princess Leia's mother. That was actually kind of my introduction to her, and I always thought she was super cool. But I wanted to mention that Debbie had unfortunately passed away of a stroke, actually while planning Carrie's funeral.
Which is not a big surprise, considering, you know, I think a lot of times when, especially when older parents, like, it wasn't a stroke and it didn't kill them, but my mother died when she was 60, and my grandparents, my grandfather, his health went downhill in a really major way, and he hung on for a couple of years after that, but I think my mom's death really really devastated him.
I think it would be unbearable. So it happens. That way to lose a child, especially one who'd struggled so much. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, you imagine you've been with, at that point, like, you know, they've been together for 60 years. Like,
Yeah, and they were very close. They lived right next door to each other. And apparently, I had heard that Debbie's last words were that she wanted to be with Carrie.
Very sad. I think it's always was kind of inspiring to see that sort of relationship between a mother and daughter, because you so often hear about these relationships between, you know, famous women and their daughters, whether the daughters are famous or not, just being really fraught and unhealthy. And, you know, it's just was wonderful to see. And you probably don't, I mean, I'm sure there's probably more healthy ones than we know about, but, you know, the unhealthy relationships make for better tabloid fodder and speculation. But like, it just was really great that those two had the relationship they had, you know.
Yeah, they had a great relationship. There's actually a documentary, I believe, coming out about them soon. I should look up the information about
it. Really? I didn't know that.
But they'd worked together many times before, and Carrie had actually written a movie, which I watched yesterday.
These Old Broads? It was
These Old Broads, yeah.
I remember when that came out, and, like, I was in college, I think. It was not great. It's cute. Lifetime original movie type cute, so.
Yeah. But it stars Debbie Reynolds, Shirley MacLaine, who had actually, I believe she had played the Debbie Reynolds-ish
in part. Postcards from the Edge. Yep.
Yeah, and Liz Taylor, who had formerly been Carrie's stepmother.
Well, that's how they got divorced. Eddie Fisher cheated on Debbie Reynolds with Elizabeth Taylor. So
yeah,
good times in the Hollywood.
And then Joan Collins was also in it, and they're really all playing like these broad parodies of themselves. And when I was watching it, I was like, the only reason they agreed to do this is because Carrie's the one who wrote it.
I'm sure.
And because I know that everybody out there really loves Gary, do not worry, Carrie's daughter Billy Lord is going to be taking care of Gary, and she has her own it's a French bulldog. She has her own French bulldog named Tina.
Very nice.
She and Gary are going to be living together. And I'm actually wondering if she might be taking care of Debbie's dog as well.
I do feel for her, like, losing your grandmother and your mother, and just, you know, and to people who are so famous, so that there's this kind of public grief that you have to deal with. I don't envy her right now.
Yeah, but I was really disgusted. I actually saw pictures of her on TMZ, of her, like, trying to get from one location to the other. And, of course, she looked terrible because her mother and grandmother just died. And it's like, oh, my God, you reptiles. Like,
well, I mean, that's TMZ, though. I mean, you can't. It's like expecting the National Enquirer to do better. It's like, it's TMZ.
Yeah, that's very true.
They're not going to do any better than that. So, but, yeah, it's going to be tough, you know. I can't imagine. Carrie Fisher talked a lot about her daughter's kind of career hopes and things like that, and said, you know, she's got a lot of material, you know, to make a success for herself and stuff like that. And I can't imagine anybody who would be more sympathetic to the idea of having a mother who was, you know, a bigger deal than you are than Carrie Fisher would. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see if she, you know, decides to really pursue the Hollywood business, because I think she'd do very well.
Billie is actually acting at the moment.
No, I know.
She's on the show Scream Queens. I did see an interview with Billie talking about everybody trying to talk her out of becoming an actress.
Yeah.
And it was her sitting down with Debbie and Debbie making her read from her journal, which I will find a link to that because it's super funny. And she also does an impression of Debbie when she's reading it out.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I was kind of bummed that she didn't get to play Leia's daughter or something like that in the movie. Like, I know that would have been gross nepotism, but at the same time, come on.
Well, I mean, they had her in the movie anyways.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they might as well have had her be Leia's daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she is. Maybe we just don't know.
There you go. That's the real controversy that we're going to get. It's not that, you know, Rey is actually, you know, Luke's daughter or Han and Leia's daughter. It's Lieutenant Connix who's turning out to be.
Oh, wow.
Dun, dun, dun. Secret agent. Yes. I would read that fic. That'd be pretty great.
This is really weird to be talking about Carrie Fisher in the past tense.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
But yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
But you know, we will be in the show notes. We will provide links to many of the wonderful tributes that have been posted.
I haven't actually written anything about my own encounter with her, which happened, let's see, 12, 13 years ago. I lived in LA right after college, and I worked for free, because that's how it works, as a personal assistant for some lady whose name I can't even remember now, because I worked there for maybe 2 months. She was a producer of not anything in particular, but she was trying to kind of get back into the game and whatever. And she was actually renting a house that Carrie Fisher owned. And this producer lady had nothing but mean things to say about Carrie Fisher. She's like, oh, she's weird. And I don't like, da, 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 da. And she's always coming over to see how the house is doing. And it's just a house and da, da, da. And so one day, actually, Carrie Fisher did show up. And it turned out that the reason that Carrie Fisher had showed up is because my employer, who was not actually employing me because that implied payment, wasn't paying her rent. And so they had a polite conversation, in the yard. And I came out because I can't remember why, but I had to get the producer lady. And she came storming back inside the house, and Carrie Fisher saw me, and she said, "Hi, who are you?" And I said, "Hi, I'm just her assistant right now." And she's like, "She paying you?" And I said, "Well, no." And she stretched out her hand. And she said, "Hi, I'm very Carrie Fisher. Welcome to the club."
Wow.
And she was very tiny. That was what I was really surprised. I thought she was like 5'7" or five. Like, I thought
no,
she was a tall,
like,
person.
5'2".
She was shorter than that. I'm sorry. I'm 5'3",
really?
And I towered over her.
I feel like I tower over the 5'2"s though. I'm only 5'4". And I feel like the 5'2 and unders, like, even if they're 5'2", I'm just like, why are you so tiny?
I think if they're 5'2", they're actually lying, and yeah, I was gonna say if they're saying they're 5'2",
yeah.
They're
well, I think
they're
actresses
probably
tend to add.
But she was very tiny, and she was very just like, I laughed and I felt bad about it, but I did end up quitting about 3 weeks later. So suppose she had a point. So, but yeah.
I mean, it's not nice that you weren't paid, but, you know, it's that's a cool, meeting with Carrie.
Yeah. Well, and it's also just this kind of thing of, I don't know how to put it, but, like, listening to all of these tributes about people who, like, just encountered her once or, like, who knew her for 20 years and stuff like that, it's remarkable how consistent it is. Mm-hmm. Because it's all, like, she was so weird and so great.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really sounds to me like she did not know how to not be herself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think in general, like, the people I've known who are like that, it comes from, honestly, just being raised in a household where you're allowed to be yourself. Like, it's such an important thing. Like, I remember just one of my friends who died very young. I remember just talking to his sister about him, and I was just like, you know, he was just so unabashedly himself. Like, and he died at 19, and he was gay, and he'd been out since he was, like, 15. And I was just like, how do you achieve that? And his sister just said, she's like, our parents just let us be who we are from the second we were born. And I was just like, that is amazing, because so many people try to control who their children are, you know? So,
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I agree.
Which is one of the reasons why I think it's so important to mention Debbie Reynolds in terms of everything Carrie, because she really did, I think, influence so much of... I mean, you just have to watch any of the, Wishful Drinking, or read any of her Carrie's memoirs to find out that Debbie really did influence the, you know, just being completely out there. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to talk about this, isn't it? Not even from an emotional point of view, but it's just like, you know, what do you say?
Yeah.
It's tough. What was your first exposure to Carrie Fisher? Like, what did you see her in first? Because it wasn't Star Wars for me, which I think is funny.
It was Star Wars, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It was, for me, it was When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
It's the first time I saw her.
It would have been, because When Harry Met Sally came out in, like, 87, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I didn't watch that because I was 8, so,
I was 7. It was wildly inappropriate for me to watch, but I watched
probably, I wouldn't have seen it in the movie theater, so it probably was not until, I mean, I don't even think I was a teenager by the time, like, probably 10 or 11, mm-hmm. But yeah, and then it was just like, oh, look, it's Princess Leia kind of thing, you know?
Probably the first non-Star Wars thing I saw Carrie Fisher in was Drop Dead Fred. And she was so funny.
Oh my god, she is in that. I forgot.
There's one scene of her where she's trying to beat up Fred.
Yeah.
And she, of course, can't see him, so she's just randomly grabbing at air.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
I was always just delighted when she popped up, like, on 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. That was just, it was just always, yeah, it was such a wonderful and perfect role for her. Have you guys seen her arc on 30 Rock?
No, I have heard that she gets to say, help me, Liz Lemon, you're my only hope, though.
Yeah, and, she plays a washed-up writer and, like, who kind of influences... It's really funny. If you just were to just watch those episodes, it would be totally worth it. And I don't remember what season, but it'd probably be pretty easy to find it. It's just one episode, too, I think. Mm-hmm. Season 2, I think, yeah.
She made a lot of cameos in movies, and I know a lot of the times if she appeared in a cameo, she would always end up writing it. Nothing else in the movie, but she would write her scene.
That makes sense, kind of.
And they were always the best scenes in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because at that point, like, why not? Why not insist on being able to do that?
There is a rumor going around that Carrie did script doctoring on the prequel movies. I'm not actually sure if that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, how much script doctoring could she have done?
I mean, it honestly doesn't really make sense considering the control George wanted to keep on those movies, and also how terrible the dialogue is.
Yeah.
Cause I think, I'm trying to remember the quote Carrie had on How Do You Script Doctor? It's, you make the women stronger and the love scenes better.
Yes. I think she said women.
I think women smarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Women smarter, yes. And those things definitely don't apply to the prequels.
No. I was about to say, yeah, I can't imagine, because, like, one of the problems with the prequels was that George Lucas wasn't listening to anybody else, so I can't imagine
that
he actually, especially Carrie Fisher, frankly, who he did not respect at all. So
no, he really didn't.
Yeah.
So is there anything else we want to say before we start to wrap things up?
I don't know. She was really great to watch and, you know, listen to, and I never actually did see her one-woman show, but I think I'm going to this weekend.
It is so good.
I believe it.
It is,
yeah. I think she was one of the people that, for a long time, were considered, you know, part of the washed-up Star Wars people, you know, her and Mark Hamill and a few others, you know, who weren't ever as successful afterwards.
So funny, 'cause they've all been working constantly.
Well, yeah, no, but I think that's
Harrison Ford, so...
Yeah, I think, you know.
No, Harrison Ford's the only one who really, like, hit, like, super big.
Yeah.
But everybody else has been working super steadily.
Yeah.
It's just they work in different areas.
No, yeah.
They didn't become megastars.
Yeah, that's my point, is that I was... Yeah. What I was saying is that, you know, Carrie Fisher was part of that group of people who kind of turned the joke around and kind of said, look, guys, I'm really successful. I'm, you know, I have a family. I have, you know, frankly, way more money than you. You know, and I have a life that I enjoy. Sure. You know, okay. Keep thinking of me as, you know, that lady who was in the gold bikini, but I'm more than that. And I think that's really a great legacy. You know,
I have a quote here actually about that. This was from her 2011 memoir, Shockaholic. What you'll have of me after I journey to that great Death Star in the sky is an extremely accomplished daughter, a few books, a picture of a stern-looking girl wearing some kind of metal bikini lounging on a giant drooling squid behind a newscaster informing you of the passing of Princess Leia after a long battle with her head.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
You know, Carrie might be gone, but she's going to live forever. She has definitely left. She has made her impact, and I think we're going to keep seeing that.
I agree. Well, and I think that it's important to note that, like, all three of us were smiling and laughing over things that we were talking about during this podcast more than we were sad.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great legacy too.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, what she would want.
Oh, definitely.
We'll be back with our Rogue One episode. Until then, please send us your thoughts and feelings about the passing of Carrie. We'll read on air any that we receive. You can contact us on Twitter at trashcompactorpodcast.tumblr.com, on Twitter at swtrashpodcast, via our website at trashcompactorpodcast.com, or email thetrashcompactorpodcast@gmail.com. And so until next time, and Carrie, the force will be with you always.